Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is December 2nd, 2024. I am Sean Ross Sapp, joined here by a new look, Denise Salcedo. This is exactly like when Jim Ross brought out New Diesel. Denise, we've got her with a haircut, everything. Okay, so maybe Denise left us. Maybe my feelings aren't hurt, not really. But what I can tell you is that if you're even thinking about tuning into the competition, don't change that dial, because I understand that Santi Zap is going to win their world championship, and that will not put butts in the seats, but I'll tell you who will, by God. Ibu of Wrestle Purists joins me every Monday here on the Post Raw show. So glad to have you, man. We've known each other for quite some time now, but you were the first person I asked, and I was so happy to have you join, man.
I barely know who this is. He offered me a boatload of money yesterday morning to join Fightful, and I said I can't turn this down, so I joined. But I've come to the knowledge that his name is Sean Rossap, and he runs a wrestling publication called Fightful. I don't even watch pro wrestling, so this is going to be an interesting ride tonight. He made me watch a show called Monday Night Raw, and so you'll get my raw thoughts, but... I'm happy to be here, you know?
Yeah, he talks about coming to knowledge. It's not the only thing he comes to, because I've seen his wings on Twitter. Disgusting. Disgusting. That will not be permitted on this program in any capacity.
You sure?
No, actually, maybe. I'm not sure.
I was going to say, because maybe, I think, honestly, you know, we have JR's barbecue, right? And Corbin does it, right? Right. Well, so here's the thing. I kind of want to get to a point where my wings are like a thing, you know, like I might maybe, I don't know. We do a wrestling tailgate and I start serving the Eagles wings, you know, because here's the thing. There's a lot made about the wings, Sean.
But there certainly are.
Right. I stole Super Bowl weekend. But here's the thing. What's not spoken about is that they're actually fucking good.
Are they?
They are. Yeah.
Was it garlic?
Garlic parmesan.
Not a garlic guy.
Really? It's because you're white, you know. Like, cause we see it on the shelf, right? And we just kind of throw it on everything. We don't measure anything. We don't like read up recipes. We just kind of throw it on stuff.
Well, then I want to know where you stand on mayo, because I had Muscle Man Malcolm guilting me for not liking mayo.
No, you gotta put mayonnaise in things. I put mayonnaise in my Philly cheesesteaks. Yeah.
All right, we got wrestling to talk about. Send super chats, send humper chats, guys. Folks, listen, if you guys like behind the scenes news, this fella has plenty of it himself. Ibu, very well connected, somebody that I have conferred with on a number of stories, and he's very well connected, has an incredible wrestling mind, one of the best analysts from an in-ring standpoint, a story standpoint. If people ever see what you post on Twitter outside of, you know, the wings, Right. just wonderful. And we got Meat Normus hopping in already. Listen, I want to know what Meat Normus thinks about garlic parmesan.
Who is this? Is this a member of the Playful Universe?
Oh, he's the meat master. He says meet and greet. I think that means something different from what you think it means, Meat Normus.
Sean, what did you sign me up for?
Meet and greet. And let me tell you, you will be greeted by the meat. That's for damn sure. And AJ says, my favorite episode of the year. What an incredible 2 hours. Sorry about the Bengals. I'm sorry about the Bengals too. I didn't even go yesterday. I'm depressed. I'm living in hell. You got Britt Baker out here tweeting about Mike Tomlin. I wish I would quit my job and sell crack if we could have Mike Tomlin as a coach. That's how badly. Just for when the Bengals have a bad season, it's like mm-hmm. 4 wins. When the Steelers have a bad season, it's 9 wins. I can't handle it.
Absolutely. It's high standard. Look, there's nothing worse than sports team stress. It's why I do this thing where I kind of reverse psychology. Like if my team loses, I'll just be like, fuck them. I'm done with the season. I'm lying. I'm not done with the season. I'm not going to stop watching you. I have a sickness. It's a mental deficit. I have to watch my teams play. But what I do is I publicly denounce my fandom. Because I think that somehow universally it's going to create some type of cosmic imbalance that will allow my teams to win, whether that be the Giants or the Yankees or the New York Knicks. Real quick before I get any further, in all seriousness, sincerely, Sean, thank you so much for having me. Huge opportunity. Really privileged to be on here, seriously. For those of you who are unfamiliar with me, I am Ibu of Wrestle Pierce, now Ibu, of Wrestle Pierce / Fightful. I love pro wrestling. I'm really happy to be here. I want to have fun. We'll see how this goes. But if you're unfamiliar with me, follow me at Backup Hangman. And like Sean said, I have a lot of opinions about wrestling. I don't know if they're good or not. I guess it's up to the audience members. But I am really, really happy to be here. And there's a lot of things that happened on tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw that I'm excited to get into because it was a very eventful episode of Monday Night Raw.
Leave a thumbs up. Drop a fruit emoji. Let us know that you're here. But I came to know you mm-hmm. as Hollywood Hangman Adam Pierce.
Right.
And it was this goofy ass Twitter account and Twitter Abby. And then I was like, he knows his shit. It's like, why is this like meme account like on about so
it's
much
funny because the profile picture looks like a total shit poster, right? Like you're thinking he's just gonna be an absolute asshole. And I'm like, well, the thing about George Hackenschmidt is da 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 da. You know
what I mean? I'm breaking down the new Hackenschmidt footage that just dropped.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's funny because I made the account purely as a burner. I was like, I don't want to bother my real life friends with my stupid wrestling takes. Let's make another account to talk about wrestling. And I said, what's a snappy name? Okay, let me mix Adam Pearce and Hangman Page. Boom, right? I do that. Twitter's like, we're gonna ban you for impersonating Adam Pearce. And I was like, no, I'm not trying to impersonate Adam Pearce. I just want to tweet about wrestling. Adam Pearce fucking blocks me immediately. He's like, who the fuck is this guy? Boom, block. You know, and I'm like, damn, I just want to tweet about pro wrestling. But Monty guilted me. He was like, you should like be an adult and like use your real name in your face. So,
well, here we are. I mean, listen, the fact that we've got you on camera is a miracle of its own.
Right. It's funny. We did a bit on Wrestle Pierce Worldwide, which is a show that I'm on every Monday at 6 p.m. They did a bit where they're like, are you going to turn your camera on here? And I was like, well, you gotta pay the big bucks like Sean Ross Sapp is doing. You know what I mean? So we know personally, you haven't reported it on your select scoops or your select portions that you do. Right. But you did sign me to a very lucrative contract to be on here. One of the biggest Fightful contracts ever. I'm so honored for it. You know,
it was one of those Jeremy Lin deals where he started out as the shit poster of the NBA. But right. It benefited him because he wasn't drafted, and then he was eligible for that big contract way earlier than everybody else.
It was like very savvy what you did, because you took the money that you used to pay Will Washington, right?
Yeah.
And then you took some of the stocks that you've been investing in your various side businesses, mm-hmm. and you combined them.
The aforementioned crack sales, yes.
Right. And then you took some stuff you had in the bank. You were like, look, fuck it. You know what I mean? Put it all together. You presented it to me in a nice package, and you basically were like, sign or die. And I was like, all right, well, you know, cool. Boom. And here I am on the Fightful Raw review.
Little did you know, you were actually the player to be named later in the Hulbert trade.
Wow.
That's how it happened.
Wow.
That's how it happened.
I remember where I was when I read that trade, dude. I was like showing all my friends.
Yep. Man. Zero News broke that one.
That guy's one of the best scoopsters in the game.
Of all time. We got Boris saying Ibu is okay. Hulbert clears, though.
Oh man. Hulbert is great. He's an awesome wrestling person.
Will Chisholm says, seeing you with the camera on, it's like when WCW made Rey Mysterio take the mask off. We got people. I think he's complimenting you. Ibu got them thick. I almost said thick chicks. It's thick cheeks. No ditty, he says. People saying Mayo is the GOAT. I can't agree with that. Like, maybe some Miracle Whip, maybe. Maybe. But Trips must have known that tonight was Ibu's debut.
Look, we have this guy on Fightful tonight. We got to make sure that our global brand.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And really shines, and we show what we do on a global stage tonight with Monday Night Raw. I'm thinking maybe I open the show with a promo or something, you know, to like really let them know, get the crowd going, you know. But we could work through that.
See, this is the type of episode where Triple H would have come out at the beginning of the Fightful podcast and been like, just so you guys know, I did this. That's what he would have done. That's what he would have done.
Tonight we set the largest gate record for Fightful viewership. We set the largest attendance record for live attendance. A lot of things going on, yeah.
We've got Patrick Stone saying, I'd wait in line for hours for Ibu of Late Night Grin's iconic swing brother.
Look at that. Patrick's on board. I like Patrick.
Well, we got Meat Norma saying, Ibu, I am the original tribal beef, the final sauce, the Atlantic meat man from the Rio Grande partner. Acknowledge meat. I feel like we need a different hand gesture besides the one. There's got to be something. Like maybe you pointing towards the grill or something. I legitimately on my bucket list is to have some of Meat Norma's meat. Some of his well-seasoned meat.
Make sure that's the Fightful staff party that I'm not invited to.
Just saying, I will have that meat in my mouth. Ibu SRS, don't no sell. Does Big Rome see dollar signs with Punk? I think the very fact that CM Punk was in that match means yes, Ibu, but I'm very interested for your take.
Well, my take on the matter is that nothing happens on WWE television involving Roman Reigns without Roman Reigns' blessing and approval. Number one, does Roman Reigns see dollar signs in CM Punk? Of course he does. And like you just said, Sean, it wouldn't have happened if he didn't. Roman Reigns at this stage of his life doesn't do anything that he thinks is going to be, what's the word I would like to use? Unproductive, unvaluable for his career. So I'm sure he probably talked it out with Heyman. I'm sure Heyman and Punk probably were doing some brother-brothering on the side, you know? Hey, man, you think you could get me in with Roman? And he's like, oh, of course I could probably talk to Roman Reigns. And he's probably calling him like, hey, Joe, what do you think? And then boom, 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 wheeling and dealing, and then boom. There you go.
I'm excited to talk about this. This rolls into what I thought was one of the best starts of WWE Raw all year. You have CM Punk coming out backstage. He sees Jey Uso. He sees Sami Zayn after War Games. I can tell you, I was watching the final War Games match in the TSA line leaving North Carolina, and people started to peek over my shoulder at my phone. Like, they were fascinated by what was happening on the screen. You had some more wrestling fans that were leaving town for WrestleCade. Well, we have CM Punk come out, and he is quickly joined by Seth Rollins, who's like, you know what? I've been waiting for this moment for a long time. And Punk said, not me. I don't care. I'm not even considering you. Like, I haven't thought about you one time. No. I've been at home chilling with Larry and AJ, watching Heels on Netflix, doing nothing. I thought this was a phenomenal way to, one, bring CM Punk back on the microphone and also have him so dismissive of Seth Rollins, because we don't necessarily know the direction that Rollins is going next heading into this show. But I'm very interested, as you have often had some unusually accurate takes regarding CM Punk. Your thoughts on this promo and before we even got to Sami Zayn?
Well, Punk opens the show. Of course, he's going to open the show. He's one of the big draws in this promotion. And he talks about his overall direction. And a lot of fan speculation has taken place about CM Punk taking on Seth Rollins imminently or maybe at WrestleMania. But regardless of what any fan speculates or any fan assumes is going to happen, the characters have to react how the characters are going to react. And the character of CM Punk, Phil Brooks, he's going to look past Seth Rollins. And so what I liked about this was just the logic. Punk wants to go to Mania. Punk has a favor that's owed to him by Paul Heyman. He wants to main event WrestleMania. He said it this year when he got injured. There's always next year. So, of course, CM Punk is going to be driven to handle that business. Seth Rollins comes out because he has a beef with Punk. He already does not like him. He sees him as a hypocrite. He's the guy that's the thorn on his side. And then now, to compound all of this, he's teaming up with Roman Reigns? Man, fuck this guy. You know, so Seth Rollins is never one to pass up an opportunity to tell CM Punk to go fuck himself, essentially. And so
Punk is so good at getting under anybody's skin as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it's like, it's just two characters with plausible issues and beef saying what they would say. And so I liked the interaction. Seth Rollins is right for, and within his standpoint, he's right to just be annoyed about all of the stuff that's been happening. Like you outlined, and like we saw in the segment, Punk was like, brother, who are you, bro? I do not think about you. I don't think about you when I go to bed. Leave me alone. You know?
And I think it only gets better from there, man.
Oh, hell yeah, man. This segment, when we talk about like why things are working within this promotion right now, what it is a lot of the top people are well-defined as characters, right? And there's a lot of really deft intertwining being done with the storylines. And you study other media and things that are working in other genres of fiction and entertainment. I mean, you look at like Marvel, for example, and people getting into like the cinematic universe and like, oh man, there's Easter eggs within this story that parlays to a tidbit here, which means I got to pay attention to that because that leads to this. And the bottom line is you're rewarded for your attention being paid. And when these things start to intertwine the way they are right now, where it's like a literal net was made today on this episode, they created a net. Punk is connected to Seth, who's also connected to Sammy because they're friends, who's connected to Jay because of the bloodline. And it all kind of comes together. And seeing all those elements converge the way they did and having everybody have their differing reactions, that's why the crowd was oohing and aahing throughout the whole thing. And in this one angle, you have so many matches that you want to see coming out of it. One of them that they burned tonight, but not really. And you kind of want to see them go a bit further with that. So really well done from that standpoint.
The 4+ year storyline branched so many different ways. And I'm so glad we're out of the Vince era where it's like, oh, good guys like good guys, bad guys like bad guys. And whatever history that they did or didn't have doesn't really matter now, because this whole story branching around, like, Drew is still going to be upset at Sami Zayn for helping out the guys that screwed him over when he was a babyface. Like, he's not going to be thrilled about that. Like, I'm excited to see what Drew explains, and we'll get to that later on. But Sami Zayn comes out here and is going at Seth Rollins. And I mean, I think we had 3 promo of the year candidates across 2 episodes of Raw with the 2 New Day segments. And then Seth and Sammy with the, you created this Roman. And then Seth was like, you did it too. We both did the same thing to him. Although Sami Zayn's goes back far, far beyond that. And I think it is an awful lot of finger pointing. Like, there were times Roman Reigns wasn't a good guy well before Seth Rollins did that to him. He just became a babyface. Then Seth Rollins gave him no reason to ever trust anybody to that extreme degree. I just thought that them going back and forth with that, it got the type of reaction you aim for in a WWE promo, which is a, ooh, he got you, you son of a bitch. Like one of those.
And there's
like,
a couple of those on the show. Here's the other thing, man. One of the issues with Vince's WWE was that he took his audience's intellect for granted, because a lot of times they wouldn't cite things from the past because the thought process was they're not going to remember that. And yeah. Look, ideally, that would be the case if you're making new fans year over year over year over year. But the truth is, bro, people like continuity because people do pay attention and they do remember things. If you make things that are striking and memorable and affect you, you're going to remember and cite back on it. So here, what they did was they kind of drew back on the company's continuity and try to tie together stories. Here's the actual truth of the matter. Because wrestling is a never-ending weekly medium and with storytelling, a lot of the things, it's not like this stuff was planned out years in advance, but what you can do is you can draw narrative through lines to then be able to pick at the stuff that works, that you can take from the past that would help this story. It'll inform this character in this way. And so, yeah, some of the stuff in the past you could drop and pretend it never fucking happened. But with this big thing, Seth Rollins has a big issue with Roman Reigns, but he's no saint himself. And like Sammy said, you put the chair to that man's back. Of course you should mention that, because now you can retroactively frame it as if Seth created Roman. This piece of shit, narcissist, megalomaniac was your doing. And so it's like all this crusading that you're doing against everybody on a moral level because of them trying to partner with Reigns. You cannot do that, and you have no leg to stand on. And so that's why, like, to your point, that's why there was a reaction there, because everybody remembers the Shield breakup. Why not use it for storytelling purposes now? So it's just a smart thing to do, to make those types of callbacks, to use your continuity in that way and tie it together where it's like now. And I bet you there's some fans who maybe got into wrestling a couple of years ago who now they're kind of watching this and they're like, really? You know what I mean? It invites curiosity, invites researching, all those kinds of things. One more thing, Sean Rossap. You talked about face and heel alignments and the shades of gray and all this type of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Here's my philosophy. So what I've noticed watching hours and hours of modern wrestling, too much to name, too much to more than recommended for the normal human being. When I study what works and what doesn't work, right? I think that defined faces and heels should still exist. But beyond all of that, right? The people's personal motives should always be very clear and defined, because what you have when characters argue is the feeling of, oh, that's a good point, I agree with him. Oh, that's a good point, I agree with him. That invites debate, which invites online conversation, because then you can make the post. What did you think of this promo? What did you think of Seth saying this? What do you think of that? That's how you start getting young fans debating about like the points being made and stuff like that. When you do things on your show that invite conversation and debate, you're doing something correctly.
We have a whole bunch of super chats, whole bunch of humper chats. Mr. Showtime says Sean Miracle Whip is the Von Wagner of Mayo. No, Miracle Whip is way better than Mayo. It's not even like a debate. Like, so much better. So much better. Vic says he's digging new Denise so far. And Boris wants to know how much Blue Chew Ibu gets for free. Listen, we backed up the Blue Chew truck as we just lost the Ibu. But it gives us a chance to read a couple super chats, read a couple humper chats. Jay Stone saying, Street saying SRS shelled out the big bucks to sign Ibu. Unfortunately, we only paid for 20 minutes of face cam, so he's gone. But he says, with the new contract, will you pay to send Michael back to the school to correct or back to school to correct that shot? Listen, I know. All right, we got Ibu back.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. But your mic is on the wrong setting. That much I know.
My goodness. I thought I got booted out. I was like, what did I do? Did the Blue Chew sponsors get me? Were they supposed to say this?
I told him we backed up the Blue Chew truck for you.
I heard that. I was gonna say, yeah, hell yeah, Blue Chew. I'm gonna say it a third time and get the ad money. And then I get booted out. I'm like, what did I do? Did the overlords get me?
Well, while you figure out your audio settings, we will go to our wonderful sponsor at Nord.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Everybody's talking about where they're going to find what WWE content. Just get NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Oh, man, yeah.
It'll work itself out.
It'll save all your issues. You'll have the libraries you need to have. You know what I mean? If you want to tell them you're living in Uruguay, I mean, do what you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that a number of times. Vin says,
I hear there's a lot of wrestling in Uruguay.
Oh, there is. Yeah. Uruguay Wrestling Federation is top. They tried to book me so many times.
Me too. I booked a show last week.
I did legitimately try to get booked somewhere in Qatar once. Or somebody tried to book me there. I was like, I'm going to have to pass on that one, buddy. I don't think I can do that one. But we have David saying, great catching up at WrestleCade. Always my favorite part of Thanksgiving weekend. Mine too, buddy. But I don't like getting sick afterwards, which is what I am right now. But it was great to see you. Murph says, love the bannery, boo. Happy for you. Keep killing it. Not to glaze, but you deserve this. And you are getting me to watch a WWE review. I kind of want him to glaze. I kind of want him to glaze all over the place.
You know, appreciate it, Murph. Murph had a time on the Wrestle Pierce channel reviewing on Dumb Guy Live. Good friend of mine, a young man. He's a Knick fan, like myself, fellow Knick fan here.
Sorry to
hear that. Murph, thank you for the support. I really do appreciate it. And again, I'm just happy to get this opportunity, and I just hope I'm not completely stinking up the joint at least yet. So,
JCG says, I don't think it's a coincidence we had an all-time Raw after Denise left a Fightful Raw review. Poor Denise had to come in during like the Bobby Lashley, Lana, Liv Morgan era. Like when she started, I was like, how long is she going to want to be on this show? Because it was historically bad. Dude. Also, okay, Jay Stone had said, with the new contract, will you pay to send Michael back to school to correct that shot?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Will I do what?
Send Michael back to school to correct that shot. I think it means Michael Bridges.
Oh, I was like, what the hell?
The Iron Man of the NBA.
I think Bridges will be okay. I think it'll be okay.
Do you think he's as wholesome as AC Green? AC Green said that he didn't get with a woman until he was like in his mid-30s.
Yeah. I think once you get to that point, I don't know if it's wholesomeness more so than just not having much game, but to each his own. I don't know if he's as wholesome as that because he's a 2024 NBA player in the age of Instagram and Twitter, so probably
not. Fair point. Andy says, Ibu has been one of the best Raw reviewers since last year and has become one of my favorite critics. We're starting off with a pretty damn good Raw. We are. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We got Vin saying it'll be interesting to see Kevin react to Sammy teaming with Punk.
Oh,
wonder
yeah.
if that's at Mania. What do you think? There's a lot of question marks around Mania. I don't think The Rock is working Mania. Let's say he's not. Where do you see the chips falling there?
No Rock complicates things a bit.
I think it could lead to Cena, Cody is what I think it could lead to.
I don't like how you're saying that, Sean. You know why?
Why?
Because you're doing that Sean Ross app thing where you know something. I don't like it.
Maybe I'm not. But I'll tell you what I don't want there. I don't want Roman versus Roman versus Solo there.
Absolutely. No, I do not. No, if they can get that, listen, they have, I'm looking at my calendar here. They have 4 months to do this match.
Yes.
Let's get that one out the way. I don't give a shit if it's the Rumble, if it's the Netflix premiere, if it's the next Saturday night's main event, if it's Elimination Chamber. You have multiple big shows to do that match.
I'd be cool with Roman versus Jacob or Jacob versus Solo. I'd be cool with either one of those.
And they, yeah. Listen, Roman was at Mania 40. People were telling me, here's, I guess, my first Ibu semi scoopski on the show, but people were telling me that Roman was backstage night two, basically telling people, like, he's hugging people and dapping people up on some, like, I'm gonna be gone for a while stuff. And apparently what he was telling some of the talent was like, look, my big goal is to really help Jacob out too. Like, I want to help my cousin out a lot when I get back. So he appears to be adhering to those words. And yep. Jacob's doing great, and he hasn't even fully unleashed himself yet. Right now, he has the hands clasped. He's saying, I love you, Solo. The moment is going to come. The time is going to come when he says, I hate you, Solo. And when that happens, and he kicks the guy, and he turns his head towards Roman Reigns, and it's a big, shocking moment, and everybody's screaming, cinema. I will be there. But the Rock thing and the Cena-Cody thing you're talking about, It's making me feel a certain way, Sean. I think you know something.
I think Cena wins the Royal Rumble.
I could very much see that. See, I was thinking more Cena Gunther, but maybe it's not Cena Gunther.
That's what I was thinking too. And I mean, I,
until someone told you something.
As we get closer to the Rumble, like, both of them were the most unpredictable Rumbles I've seen in a long time. Like, I have no concept of who wins the Women's Rumble right now.
Unless... You know why? Because I think the Rhea injury kind of threw some stuff off.
It did.
It threw some stuff off, and then they had to shift certain things up. And then Rhea apparently is, like, back earlier than expected, so then it shifted some things around again. And so now Hunter's like, oh, shit, what the fuck am I do with this one? What about you?
I think Rhea versus heel Bianca is the move. I think it should be the move.
All I know, Sean Rossap, is it better not be Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania.
No, absolutely not.
And I don't think it is, but fuck me, should it not be that match?
Well, let's go ahead and talk about that. Backstage, we see Judgment Day Business. Finn Balor is backstage, you know, talking trash about Dominic and how he couldn't get things done. And even Liv is like, would you lay off this Damian Priest shit? We're even tired of this.
Yes, and you're obsessed, dude.
I'm sick of it. Doing? And I'm going to go on a rant about the Gunther thing in a minute, but we had Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez defeating Io and Kairi, which was a situation where it's like Liv and Raquel weren't going to lose this because Liv is the champ. But you know what? Actually, I could see them beating Liv Morgan. I just didn't want to have to deal with Twitter accounts acting like she was unrecoverable after it. But Raquel is the muscle. They don't give a damn about the tag division anyway. So you knew the Sky Pirates were going to lose. You knew that was going to happen. And it's all about Rhea and Liv. So even the foundation of the feud that they're building to towards the next pay-per-view doesn't matter either, because Rhea laid out Liv.
It's why I, when Io became the number one contender, I was like, just get it out of the way. Because, like, I love Io Sky.
Do too.
And I don't foresee her beating Liv Morgan, especially now that Rhea is back. So extending that and playing with me like that is just like, come on, dude. It's funny, when I was watching this tag match, when Kairi got the elbow drop on Raquel, I thought, oh, okay, nice. A momentum win for Kairi ahead of the IC tournament. Cool. And I was literally typing that out on my phone as a tweet until, like, she kicks out. And I was like, oh, of course. And I realized, no, Raquel's going to get the win here because they're going to heat her up to face Rhea Ripley, because Hunter loves this matchup and he will continue to do it until one of these is good.
We've got good job, Marcus, saying collared shirt and camera. We're hog tying you at Wrestle Purist. And John says, not only his camera, but he shows up on time. We still did start the show late, but he was on time. I just want to make that clear. He was, not only that, he was early. So
Blue Chew pays me to be on time.
Young Nasty Man says he boos impressions of Trips and Heyman alone are worth the niece getting kicked out of Fightful. She didn't get kicked out of Fightful.
Get kicked out.
We're filming. Denise and I are filming a video together like this week. She's hosting the Fightful Awards in like a month. By the way, you can access voting for the Fightful Awards at FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. We had news on Big E today. We're going to have, unfortunately, a bunch more injury news this week. But Patrick Stone says, can you confirm whether or not Ibu signed the most lucrative, most complex contract in the history of Fightful? If so, is creative control included? I mean, I guess creative control in that I'll never tell him what to do. In that sense, like I never, you can pretty much ask anybody that works. I mean, listen, you can tell by the social media conduct of people that work at Fightful that I don't tell them what to do.
I tweeted something. I can't even remember what it was. I might have been something like lingerie is overrated in mid. And someone's like, this is what Fightful paid for. And I just started dying laughing.
I already started to see like the typical Fightful on like your tweets and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll just tweet something like some dumb guy shit, you know, just like bing, bop, boom, pow. And they're like, huh, sounds like a Fightful guy.
You know? Berserk says, never on camera during Wrestle Purist show, but only using it on the big stage. Hollywood Ibu Hogan is in full force. He is Hollywood Hangman Adam Pearce. Like, come on now.
Don't forget what he was doing. That's, yeah. Hollywood Hangman, brother.
Any update on Shotzi's injury or return? I mean, with an injury like that, you almost have to expect a year. That I don't ever expect someone back earlier than that. I was shocked to see Cora Jade back so early, but you almost got to expect a year. And somebody's asking about when Alexa will be back. So here's something I never reported. In the summer, somebody told me that or alluded to, oh, well, she was told maybe the fall. I don't know that she was ever told that. It ended up not being true, clearly, because we're almost in winter and she never came back. So I don't know. But Ibu, it's that thing that happens now where a female wrestler, a woman's wrestler has their child. We see one training video of them. And then every week we get the question, when are they coming back? And the reality is, from what I understand, these wrestling companies do not rush these women back. It's basically a come back when you feel like you're ready type of thing.
Right. And again, in the case of like with Alexa, it clearly she's just been given the green light to kind of do what she has to do. And then maybe I'm assuming there's going to be a conversation rather imminently, if not already. And it's just, and then they'll start putting together the creative. And here's the thing to the fans asking about these guys or these women. The truth is once creative starts getting put together, Sean will be on top of that. Some of these other outlets will be on top of that. And then you can start the clock ticking because, for example, Drew McIntyre, we heard word last week that they're making creative for him. And then boom, he's on Raw this week.
Yeah.
So that type of stuff comes together pretty fast in terms of, like, I think what usually happens is like they start to do it and then they let people know a little bit later.
Yeah.
After it's already been underway. And then shortly thereafter, they're on television. So with regards to Bliss, if you don't see those types of reports, then I just wouldn't expect her until then. Very few people kind of completely slip the detectors, so to speak, in the radars before making that return.
Tim follows up my point about Bianca and says she'd be a generational heel in Maine. She would be. I mean, Bobby Lashley, I believe, said that he wanted Bianca in his group and she didn't want to be heel. And I can tell you, if it is like a John Cena thing where she doesn't want to play that role, I mean, I see her at the food banks. I see her at the Boys and Girls Clubs. I see her at all the community events that I do. She's there. She's helping. She's doing those obligations. So I could see that. But, man. And also, I mean, we saw based on her entrance, that WrestleMania entrance, where she had all those kids out there, like that means something to her. But I'll tell you what doesn't mean anything to Gunther, Finn Balor. he don't give a damn. Finn Balor's like, you beat Priest twice, I helped you twice, you owe me a title shot. And Gunther's like, LOL, no. And to me, I'm glad, because you know why? I like Finn Balor as a performer. He looks incredible. This man has won one singles match in a year.
Really?
A year, Ibu.
Really?
I'm going to go back on his cage match right now. and narrow it down. It's been a long ass time. Not only that, hasn't been defending the tag titles. Did that once.
No,
so get those. It's a bit
on TV now. They're like, yeah. Adam Pearce is like, since you don't want to defend your own championship, and he's just and Balor's like, fuck my championship, man. I want my fucking title from the title shot from
Finn Balor's last singles match, lost at Bad Blood. Before that, got DQ'd against Rey Mysterio in September. Before that, guess who beat him in July? A fella by the name of fucking Gunther on Raw beat him. Drew McIntyre beat him in June. Finn Balor beat Dragon Lee in August or in June. Huge win. Jey Uso beat him before. Jey Uso beat him before. Tommaso Ciampa beat him in January. And he had no singles matches in December, November, or October. You have to go back to like AJ Styles in September of 2023 for there to be a substantial win there. And guess what happened before that? Lose to LA Knight, lose to Cody Rhodes, and lost two World Heavyweight Championship matches to Seth Rollins. So the last time that this guy got a title shot, two of them, by the way, he has went 2-9 since then. And Gunther was like, no, I'd rather not. I'd rather fight Dominic instead. Beats the brakes off Dominic like he should. And then Dominic, low blow, 619, frog splash. I was very thrilled that that's all the offense that he got in this match. I think that's exactly how it should be. Mm-hmm. But how did you like how all this played out? Because, of course, they're doing the thing where they're like, oh, well, Finn Balor attacked you, so you're going to want to defend your title against this guy that hasn't won a match in months.
A bit sloppy, you know, because here's the thing.
Yeah.
There's been times where they've clearly had a contender in mind pretty ahead of time, and they'll set them up a certain way, and you could tell because it's gradual and it's progressive, and it's, like, pretty well laid out. We've seen a couple of those this year. But in the case of Finn Balor, it feels like they just kind of were like, oh, they won't mind if we just kind of microwave him. And I don't like microwave challenges because typically microwave challenges insult your intelligence. And you just laid it out there with the literal X's and O's of his win and loss record. But the truth is even beyond that, just when it comes from a presentation standpoint, the story of this new Judgment Day is that they're losers because the team leader, the team captain, can't win a game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look. Balor and Gunther is a match I'd like to see that. They did it, or like you pointed out, in I think it was July or June.
Yep.
It was good, not great. Limited by TV time. We'll see how it goes on NBC. Actually, on a side note, I'm kind of concerned about like the matches being all they can be on there because I heard the show is going to be 2 hours. And it's like, fuck, man, 2 hours? You know, the way WWE formats and structures things, are matches really going to get to breathe?
Got that WWE downtime account now, like keeping them on watch, buddy.
Yeah, I suspect, Sean, that that account is going to get on their radar and like kind of annoy them a little bit.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So like with Finn Balor, I mean, look, like he's doing these, like he did the run out later on in the show and he has a challenge here earlier backstage. It's not strong enough. It's not strong enough. It's very microwaved. It's very just, fuck it. Like, it's Finn Balor. You guys like, because you know what it is also? When you're just kind of a part of the furniture of the roster, when you've just been a mainstay that long, they almost kind of hang their hat on just like the instilled credibility with the audience. Like, it's Finn Balor. You guys will accept that. It's Finn Balor. Come on, guys. Like, I noticed they put more effort into heating people up when they're kind of newer names. Like, with Lyra earlier in the year, they kind of like did that whole extended rollout where she's winning a bunch of matches in a row and then the Queen of the Ring and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. Right?
Cause they, yeah, which LOL, like look at it.
To the point where I was concerned they were pushing her down people's throats and now it's the complete opposite. She's vanished.
Right. But to that point, it's like, it's almost like they knew this is a new person. We got to get them over. We got to establish them. But with people like a Finn Balor or some of these other like names that have been longtime names, it's almost like, come on, you know this guy. Like, come on. And they can just throw them at you. And the truth is, they get away with it because the fans typically do buy it. They're like, all right, well, yeah, Kevin Owens, yeah. Or like, you know, this guy or Sammy or Seth or whoever it is. Like, they just kind of buy it because they, like I said, they're part of the furniture of the roster.
House has spoken has said them making Gunther look weak recently is terrible. I don't think he looked weak in this match. The only way that Dominic got offense was he kicked him in the balls and Gunther fell into 619 position. And then he hit that move. For all the comparisons, you know, to Ray, which he can't compare to, all the comparisons to Eddie Guerrero, he has always reminded me a lot more of Art Barr in the ring and from a personality standpoint. And perhaps appropriate considering that he was Eddie Guerrero's teammate, but that's the guy that I look at as Dominic Mysterio is a phenomenal character on the show. I think they all know he's not a strong worker, but they've leaned into that. I've often said, Paul Heyman says accentuate the positives, hide the negatives. They just accentuated every negative that Dominic had and magnified those and made it his character, and it's worked with him. But
well, that's been the case. That's been the case since the beginning of this version of Dirty Dom, because it was almost like they knew that the fans pretty much recognized, like, man, this kid sucks, and like he's holding Ray back, and like, fuck, like what are we doing here? And they were like, WWE basically said, hey guys, Dominic fucking sucks. Look at him, and the fans are like, yeah, we are, fuck him, and they're booing him, you know. And hey guys, Dominic cannot cut a promo, and then he comes in and he's just like, he says whatever he says, and they start to boo. That's kind of the heat. You know, he's just this little fuck who just sucks, and you hate him. And then they're like, well, now he's in a heel stable. And look at, oh, you guys like Rhea Ripley? Well, now, no, this is her. That's her man. And people, you know what I mean? So it's always been an effective act. So much so to the point where Rhea Ripley is hurt being away from him, to be honest with you. But Dominic Mysterio, he had a match with Gunther later on the show. I did enjoy watching him get his ass kicked.
I do too. I think he does that well.
Yeah, he's good at getting his ass kicked.
And like I said, I thought the offense was very explanatory, the way that they set it up. He had to kick Gunther in the balls or else he wasn't getting one punch off in that match. None of it. Otherwise, Gunther was embarrassing him, patting him on the head, kicking him off the ring apron. It was nothing for Gunther until he got kicked in the dick. That was it. And JT says, only thing I don't like about Finn and Gunther at Sunday night or Saturday night's main event is Priest is going to cost Finn the way that Finn cost him.
Yeah,
it's pretty predictable.
That's the thing. It's like, why even invest in the match, or even when the match happens? Like, you know it's going to get good, and then you'll get a near fall or two, and then he'll run through, and then there'll be like some type of ref distraction or something, and then he'll ram him into the post on the outside, throw him back in, powerbomb, boom. And then with that, you create one, another fuck finish, two, another situation where Gunther's not exactly the main topic of the match he's in. And I'm not really big on that, especially since one of the best things about Gunther is that he's one of the best, like, final bosses in wrestling, no rock. But, like, he's a hell of a worker. He's a guy who's a great mountain to overcome, you know? And it's like, you don't create that effect if he's having these matches where it's like, fuck finish here, fuck finish there. I know they're doing this like self-doubt story arc with him, but it's just, to me, it's not the best presentation of him. And we've seen what an effective presentation of Gunther is, because they achieved it themselves just a few months ago when he was being the guy who was dismissive of people who were underprivileged or people, you know, guys like that. And we saw how he was kind of talking shit about all the issues Randy Orton had in his past and things like that. Well, Gunther's just as privileged, domineering, dominating, unbeatable wrestler. I mean, you have a tremendous character there, and I'm curious what this current direction is going to lead to, because they're doing this self-doubt thing and they haven't fully ended it yet, because he didn't fully exercise the demons. He beat Priest, wasn't clean. Curious what it's going to lead to. My theory, Sean, unless again you know something, my theory is that they're doing all this to be able to give John Cena promo material. I look at the way Gunther acts, and I just all I think in my head is like John Cena staring at him, going fine speech, and being like, "You think you're a man, but I look in your eyes and I see a boy." And Gunther's just like, "What?" You know what I mean? So
I do love that you employ the unusual John Cena Southern accent that for some reason emerges.
Yeah, John
caught Cena and compromised to a permanent end.
John Cena has like four voices, you know. When he feels like, he'll be like, "Y'all feeling good tonight?" And you're like, "No." You know? And then, you know what I mean? Like, "Welcome everybody to Monday Night Raw." I'm like, where?
Oh, he's also got the "I'm talking to Chris Van Vliet very slowly" voice. That one's a good one.
I just feel that the thing about observing character is that, you know, I just understand like the psychology of it. He'll talk like that. And then like he'll also be like, you know, like, this ain't the house that AJ Styles built. It's the house that I built. Like, okay. You know, like, so sure, John.
Oh, my God. And AJ says, does Cena win the Rumble while being promoted for Elimination Chamber? I'd be surprised if Cena wasn't on like every PLE next year. Like, I think that they're going to really, yeah, man, I mean, look, they got him, they're going to use him, is what I expect.
Dude, I'm seeing so many people talking about this, Sean. About like, oh man, he's promoted for this, so that means he's not going to do this. So that, guys, it's his last year. They're going to milk him completely dry. It's John Cena. Every market they hit, they're going to say the last time John Cena is hitting your city, buy a fucking ticket.
He's going to be getting keys to every city en route. Yes. They're going to be promoting the hell out of it.
Send off fucking ovations everywhere he goes. The farewell tour, no stages hell on these fucking venues. People doing this thing like, he's advertised for Elimination Chamber. That means he's not winning the Rumble. He's advertised for Saturday's main event. Does that mean he's not going to be at Mania? He's advertised for Backlash. What is that? Guys, he will be on all of these fucking shows.
Braun Breaker interview interrupted by Kaiser. I like that Braun Breaker, like, Braun Breaker, very, very Gunther-ish in his title reign and approach, to where he could go seamlessly out of babyface heel, because you just respect the way that he handles things. Like, sometimes heels are just better than their babyface counterparts, and that is a Braun Breaker situation. And in this situation, he's a babyface, and he's telling Kaiser, glad you're getting out of his shadow, but you need to do it even quicker because his stock is dropping. I don't know what he means by Gunther's stock is dropping, but I just like that we recognize that Ludwig is on the come up, and Braun views him every bit as badass as Gunther, in my estimation.
Well, look, I mean, he's looking the part. I mean, the way he walks out there and he beats the shit out of people now, and these post-match attack angles, and the guy looks $1 million, and he cuts these promos that are really strong. I mean, I'm a big fan of Kaiser. I think he's come a long way. I think his stock is pretty fucking high. He just got a pay-per-view opportunity where he was awesome in the match. So it makes sense in a literal sense. And I mean, in the reality, as a fan watching, I mean, you watch Kaiser and you're like, this guy isn't just a stooge with Gunther's stable. He's a player for real. And to your point about Braun Breaker as a champion, look, man, sometimes it's okay for guys to just be awesome and win matches. And then like, that's it.
Yeah, I agree. We got Masp saying, count your days, Shinsuke, talking about Penta. Well, listen, I know one thing. If you bet on Shinsuke Nakamura on Bet Online this weekend, you're counting your dollars because he was an underdog.
Hey, guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best, from cutting edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag, that's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag, only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
Make sure you guys check out BetOnline.ag. I didn't have any underdog lock picks, so this Nakamura one was a bit of a surprise, but we will have some for World's End. We do have some Super Chats and Humper Chats.
Hell yeah.
Faruga says, Suppy Boo, handsome man, what are your four pillar ranks? Damn, everybody's hitting on you. You're getting hit on more than Denise.
Really?
Yeah.
Look, I think that's very, very humbling. Thank you very much. If we're talking four pillars of All Japan, personal preference, Kenta Kobashi, number one. Let's do Toshiaki Kawada, number two. Number three, we'll do Misawa, and we'll do Taue, four. That is not a slight on Taue. I think he's one of the greatest big men of all time. So that's that. AEW, if that was your question, I think Darby Allin is the best pillar. MJF, number two. And then, like, the pits of hell for the remaining two wrestlers.
My God. We got J.M. Garcia saying, coming here to say I'm loving this new team, and it's my motherfucking birthday. Well, happy birthday. We appreciate you spending your time with us. You spending your money on us. Man, that's very flattering. Like, thank you so much.
What's the name of this individual?
It is J.M. Garcia the 12th, apparently, because it's XII, and I know my Roman numerals.
That's a bit of a flex, dude. You're trying to show off on me. Look, J.M. Garcia the 12th, happy birthday, sir. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope it's been great. I hope you're surrounded by nothing but love and affection and joy from the people that love you and the people that are close to you. And for an additional $10, I'll sing happy birthday to you. Just let me know. You know,
hell yeah. Or something. Yeah. Corey David says, Sean gets a boo, but Wrestle Pierce gets Sandman, the real draw.
Are you familiar with the Sandman lore, Sean Rossap?
I'm not familiar with the Sandman lore, but Sandman. I am very familiar with the Sandman.
Right. Sleep with one eye open.
Of course. He's a TikTok grandfather now.
Wow. The Sandman he's referring to is my younger brother.
Oh, okay.
Sandman made his debut on Russell Pearson, a cameo a few weeks ago. And then I said, I need a co-host, so I'm forcing you to do a podcast with me. And I did this last week. And it's funny, I literally slapped him awake. I was like, I need you. And he was like, do I get paid? I was like, yeah. I'm serious. I was like, dude, wake the fuck up. I need a Raw Review podcast to co-host. So he gets up. I'm like, do I get paid? I was like, yeah, you'll get paid. And then what ends up happening, Sean, is the audience loves him. And they're like, man, fuck Ebu. Like, this guy's way better. So,
I love it. Young Nasty Man says, it's like Bullet Club, Fightful for Life. Denise is out. Ebu is in. Well, listen, I can't kick her out until the award show. She is the only person with, like, honest to God, red carpet experience that gives that show any semblance of professionalism. By the way, guys, if you would like to sponsor the Fightful Awards presented by NordVPN, contact myself, one of the Fightful accounts on Twitter or Fightful Select, or contact Kate, who's been selling those sponsorships like crazy.
Hell
Jonathan
yeah.
Corona. Oh, Jonathan Corona is our party guy. He says, before everyone goes against me, at least me and Sean are kind of similar. Not everyone likes mayo. I don't like pickles, but I like regular crumbler with salt and chili. Jonathan Corona sent $10 to say that, and that's why I love Jonathan Corona.
Hell yeah. So, listen, in this country, you have to fight for what you believe in, and you have to use your voice. And sometimes it might take some money, but God damn it, you put that money in to scream from the heavens your opinions on food.
I have, what is a crumbler?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be completely honest with you, Sean. When you read that, I was like, I'm going to no-sell this and pretend I know what the fuck that is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. So, Jonathan, you don't have to send a super chat, but please educate me in the chat. Like, and our wonderful moderator, Luis, will put that in our document that we have here and let me know. But Ryan says, Sean, do you suspect we see Becky on the Raw on Netflix recently? PW Insider stated WWE and Netflix sources expect her to be there. They were hoping for Rock, Netflix sources were. I don't know if they'll get him. Listen, obviously workers work, but when I asked, she was like, I don't know where that came from. And usually she's just pretty upfront about that type of thing. So Corey David says, where is Oba Femi? Corey Brennan has a bit of an update on that, but quite honestly, I think that the answer is Nigeria. I think that's legitimately the answer right now. I think he's overseas right now.
I had a couple of theories, but
oh yeah, go ahead.
Sure, really. I was gonna say I don't want to recklessly speculate on the Fightful YouTube channel.
Listen, as long as you state it, then
all right. Reckless speculation beginning in 3, 2, 1. A, he got popped for steroids. B, he yelled at someone and maybe he has some heat. C, he's been suspended for something completely different. Or D, he's injured.
I think that he's just chilling. I think he's just visiting home. It's something. So I don't know if you noticed, but Ilya takes off like a month at the end of the year every year. And of course, unfortunately, due to his injury, he will this year. And when he had that absence, I looked back and I was like, that guy like never wrestles in December. So I don't know if it's something like that or, you know, he just had some planned time off maybe. But
And I got to say this about time off and the health of the athlete and family time. I think it's bullshit. And as a fan, I want Obafemi in the Iron Survivor Challenge, and you should be away from your family. And God damn it, who cares about your mom when you could be powerbombing Axiom and Nathan Frazier? Entertain me. And no, I'm kidding. I think it's cool. A lot of people were complaining about like the double taping schedule and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, dude, December is historically not even like the biggest month in American wrestling anyway. Let these people fucking enjoy their holidays, you know, and you get refreshed athletes who are ready to go and raring for January.
Corey says, thoughts on Lash Legend. I mean, I think that she's progressed nicely. She was having some real shitters back on 205 Live and NXT Level Up. And I felt like it was very unfair to her that she was put in the position to have those types of matches on TV in front of an audience that clips everything and yes. wasn't working as many live events or anything like that. That's something where I think that you can't judge somebody based on the first time you see them in the ring, especially in NXT. You have to give them time to progress because she has. I mean, obviously, she is not exactly Bryan Danielson or anything in the ring, but I think that the growth has been evident there. And as a guy that watched every bit of WWE content at that point, I would watch those matches, Ibu, and I was like, man, like, some of them were taped. And I'm like, why did they do this to her?
It felt like a setup. It felt like sabotage. Sean, look, the late 2021 was ridiculous. You were taking guys who just got to the PC with no training from scratch. And they're like, how long have you been bumping? 3 months? Here's your new name. You're on TV. Wrestle. You're a mob boss. And it's like, what is happening? Early 2.0 was preposterous. I can't wait till like the podcasters make like retroactive content about this. And with regards to Lash Legend, I felt so bad for this young lady because she was obviously like way premature when it came to like being on television. She was a year away from being on TV. She was a year away from being ready.
Yeah.
And she's on TV and it's like, she doesn't know what she's doing, but of course she's not going to know what the fuck she's doing. And people were scrutinizing these matches and going, man, Lash Legend is the shit. And it's like, dude, most pro wrestlers a couple months in are the fucking shits. They're all terrible. When I got to podcasting, I was the fucking shits. I still kind of suck. But the point is with Lash, it's like, she didn't know what she was doing. People are clipping this. And the other problem also is, and Dave Meltzer would speak to this a lot, is like sometimes people would kind of get a rep for early on because of like their early matches, and you almost have to shake that off even when you improve. Chris Masters had that issue where it's like Chris Masters was seen as like a failure or this and that because he was pushed prematurely, and by the time he actually got it to being a good wrestler, he's released. Lash Legend, thankfully, has not been released. She's very much on TV. She's now getting main roster opportunities, and to your point, I've seen the growth because I'm seeing her on SmackDown, and like more than anything, I'm noticing she has a good feel for wrestling beyond like the actual physical execution. She has a good feel for the game. The crowd is taking to her because at the end of the day, people want to see big people doing cool shit. And she's doing fucking lash extension thingy and like, you know, the power slams and stuff. And I think she's well on her way. And I think she's going to make it, thankfully.
Craig says the Fightful swear jar is going to be full to the brim with Ibu. Love the dynamic. Listen, I don't care about that. If you guys send super chats the way you are tonight, I don't really care. But we have Dakota Kai defeating Katana Chance and Baszler. The right move here, in my opinion. You know, triple threat match seems to be the way to go with these tournaments. Interesting enough, Isla Dawn not in the tournament, but Alba Fire is in the tournament. I think Alba Fire worked before the show as well. But Vin says, what a Raw. Hope they figure out how to do an awesome, or just as they figure out how to do an awesome 2-hour Raw, they'll go back to 3 hours, which is not confirmed yet, by the way. I just want to say that. They have been completely silent about how long the show is going to be, but says, hope they keep up the momentum. They should invest more in Katana Chance. I don't see that being imminent, but I think Dakota Kai winning here is the right opportunity or the right thing to happen. She has not gotten this type of opportunity really on this stage, Ibu.
No. And I got to say, look, there's a lot of Dakota Kai shooters and fans on the internet. And I have my moments up and down where I'm kind of like, I don't get it. Or like, oh man, you know, she's showing something. I'll tell you this, tonight she was feeling it and she looked good tonight. And a lot of, you saw like the best versions of a lot of her offense. I got to be honest. I saw the bracket, Sean, and I saw the matchups. And like I mentally kind of like checked out. I was like, no one's gonna give a fuck about this championship. Look at the people involved in this. And that's not really totally burying the talent. It's just kind of like where they currently stand on the roster. But to that point, these three ladies went out there, and I was like, all right, let's see what's going to happen here. And it was pretty good. It was a good match.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, it was a good match. And Dakota's doing her thing. Shayna looked good with some of her counters, and Katana Chance was doing like her like kind of like springboard Rana stuff and the 450 splash. This is really well laid out, well agented, well.
That was a great spot, that 450, and then right. Immediately going into the next spot. Yeah.
Right. And most importantly of all, though, a lot of these undercard women's matches on Raw die live. But this one didn't. The fans were into this. They were into Dakota. And she got the win, which, like you said, and which is good for her. And the fans, they were happy for it. They popped on the finish. So a good piece of business overall here. If the other first-round matchups are as dynamic as this one, then I think we're actually looking at something that might overachieve, at least overachieve to what I initially projected when I saw this.
Steven says, Ibu, welcome, sir. Enjoying your take on things happening in the world of pro wrestling and SRS. Any word on when we'll see Randy Orton return? He seemed in good spirits from hearing from him, but I don't know what that means necessarily for him in the ring. Listen, I thought for sure that AJ Styles injury, the way that they handled it, wasn't a legit thing. But the Randy Orton one was one that they clearly had planned out. He's already been out of action for a month. So I'm like, damn, is this just a let's get him back for the holiday tour type of thing? Because obviously that would be very important for them. I'm sure they would love to have him at MSG since Cody's going to be on the whatever isn't the MSG January or December 26th show. I don't know if there is a legit injury and if it's that serious, but obviously considering his history, it's something that they got to at least keep their eye on. But I mean, they got him nailed down for another 5 years. So, I mean, it's not like they're like, oh, we're running out of time on Orton. He has told them he doesn't plan to retire type of thing. So
he's got a great gig. I'll tell you that. Cause
yes, he does.
He has a couple matches and he's like, hey, Hunter, I think it's time. Maybe I take a month off, you know, maybe write me off with an angle or something. You know, I feel like we got a Randy Orton return like three or four times a year, at least in this year. It kind of feels like, do you remember Edge right before he left WWE? He had like 9 returns in the same year, you know? I feel like 17 different times I saw Finn Balor at the top rope, and you hear like, "You think you know me?" And he just like runs out and shit, you know. So
if you want to do a fun exercise, go to TNA Wrestling's channel and look up various members of the Beautiful People returning. There's like nine videos of that.
Really?
Yes. Andrew said, "Should Ava's gimmick be that she is an incompetent nepo hire?" Well, I'm not going to be that mean, but I'll tell you something I've long wanted to see her do. I've wanted to see her looking for a new assistant. She goes through a pile of applications and she finds one at the very bottom of this crowded desk, and she looks at it and she goes, damn, this is the perfect candidate. And the next week she's interviewing Billy Kay, who had submitted her application years ago. And I just wonder for comic relief on NXT. And honestly, I think that she would be probably a pretty good person to have through there because she's navigated the independent scene outside of WWE, in WWE, the main roster. So she could probably help out a lot of people in NXT as well. But I don't have any real thoughts on Ava. Cody says, Nick Suckyboo misses I Heart Thunder Up. What the hell does that mean?
Isaiah Hartenstein was our center last year while Mitchell Robinson was injured, and he unfortunately went for the money, which is understandable. It's sports, and at the end of the day, you go to the team that can pay you the most. He went to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and as a result, the Knicks have greatly missed him, and Hartenstein looks amazing in Oklahoma City. So I'll give you that. I'm guessing you're a Thunder fan. But the Knicks don't suck. We are 12-8. We are fourth in the Eastern Conference. Very inconsistent so far, despite a really talented team. I think law of averages says that we'll just kind of figure it out eventually. We're projected to win 54 games. And if that happens, then we don't suck. We're a pretty good team and we're in pretty good shape. This will maybe age poorly, Sean Rossap, and I'll be on here, Mondays from now on, like, you know, April, like miserable as fuck, but, we shall see.
I just want the Raptors to end up with the number one pick. That's all I want. That's all I care about. That's all I can hope for at this stage. R-Truth defeated Pete Dunne. I don't give a shit about this match.
This was so bad, dude.
Yeah. Like I hate the roll up pin. I hate the roll up pin here.
You know
especially
why
with no sucks? Weight on the shoulders. I don't like it. I get it. They want you to chant Butch at him. It's very clear.
It's like who put this on main event, dude? Because here's my thing, Sean.
There you go.
I'm watching the show at this point, and I'm seeing that there's like 25, 30 minutes left. And I know Seth and Sammy are left. And I want to watch this match, Sean. And like I know already that it's a two-segment match because it was already reported on Fightful Select. But like something in my soul, I'm like, maybe I don't know, maybe they figured out this or that. I just want to see that match. I want to see them wrestle, you know? And then I'm looking at this match that's taking away the time, and I'm like, please end, just end, just end, just end. And this guy's going like, oh, I'm not Butch. My name's not Butch. I'm like, who gives a fuck? And then the other thing is like, who gives a fuck? I don't
get nobody.
It's so like the thing Vince comes up with a guy at the bottom of the fucking totem pole to give him a thing. And it's like, look, for me, it's I love Ron Killings. I tweeted this. I love Ron Killings.
Great guy.
I think he is historically an underrated professional wrestler. Ultra talented, a legitimate shoot, funny ass dude. And I understand why he's had longevity in WWE. But at this stage of the game, anybody he's involved with, he is dragging them down because they're minimalizing that person and they're making it a joke. And in the case of Pete Dunne, this is just a match I did not care to see on the show. And a show with very limited time at this point now, 3 hours gone, 2 hours. I want to see this main event, and I have to watch Pete Dunne face Butch. Sorry, now I'm fucking up his name because they've done the stupid segment. But like,
oh man,
I'm seeing Truth versus Pete Dunne. It's not a match. He does this, I'm you know, to get my name right, sticking, and I'm like, I'm watching. I'm like, they're going to do a roll up here. Who could fucking care? And then they do the roll up. I'm like, man, get this shit out of my face. So on a show that I thought was productive and interesting and good with numerous good angles, this was the big, gigantic, like, misfire. It's just something I don't care to see, and it was a waste of time.
Moon Man says, Ibu, you all need to allow Jericho Sims to break the walls down.
No.
SMG says, Seth being blamed for Roman now is so forced. He didn't become the tribal chief until 6 years later after the Shield betrayal. They were boys in 2017. Yeah, I'm sitting here saying, why aren't you bringing Baron Corbin back? Why isn't he getting finger wagged? Why isn't he getting the blame here? Isn't Kibbles and Bits getting any of the blame in this situation? To me, well, it's pretty clear.
That's the power of selective continuity with pro wrestling. But could you imagine if they did that where Sammy's like, you made Roman. It says like, well, no, I joined the Authority and then this happened. And then he faced Wyatt. And then he kind of did this. And then he fought the Authority. And then he got booed. And then and Constable Corbin became this Corbin. And then he beat up Roman Reigns. And then blah, 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 blah. You know.
Well, you mentioned the power of selective content. Power of positivity ended. And God damn. An all-timer segment for me. I don't know. In that moment, I realized that I didn't feel this type of way about wrestling since maybe a Danielson retirement or the Rockers breaking up. That's how sad I was to watch them be mean to Big E. So Xavier and Kofi look like they are ending their run. Big E comes out with his Wale theme and all. He says, well, until we get back on track or until I get cleared, I'm going to manage you guys. And honestly, immediately I was like, this probably isn't going to work. It's probably not going to go very well. Like Big E's great, but I don't know how well that would necessarily work. And then, oh my God, the shit that they uncorked, Ibu. Before we even get into what it was, how were you reacting throughout everything that they were saying, because I couldn't believe they were saying some of this stuff.
I love the New Day.
Yeah.
And I'm watching everything that they're saying to each other and every line. I'm like living and dying by what's being said, because I'm just hoping desperately that by the end of it, they all hug each other and walk off, you know? So when Big E comes out and he's like, and I'll fight and I'll be a manager and I'll fight until I get back. And then I'm like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. And then like, Woods is like, fuck you, dude. I'm like,
yeah,
no. And Kofi's just like,
Kobe's just kind of like, you weren't there for us. I'm like, no, no. What are you doing? What are you guys doing? And then,
like, I see people playing devil's advocate, and I was like, oh, my God, they have points. Yeah, they're like, Big E was at these pay-per-views. He was at these PLEs. He was on the pre-shows. He was at the desk. He was hanging out with Mia Yim's sister, which why would you try to get involved with that family?
Like, it just – well, here's my thing. It's just like – they're blaming Big E. I'm like, he broke his neck. And they're like, you're with your wife. I'm like, it's Christian. What do you want? I mean, come on.
Yes. Like,
what the fuck?
He says, I broke my neck. And they said, so did Edge. So did Angle. So did these other people. And they didn't have anybody. You had us and you still didn't come back. Xavier's saying, I tore my Achilles off the bone. I came back for you. And it's like, it was like the very serious version of, you know whose fault it is? Roman Reigns and Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens hug, except this was like them just pulling out a knife and repeatedly stabbing Big E as he's trying to hug them and saying, no, even after all that, you guys.
It was so tense and uncomfortable because I'm like, please don't hit him. Don't hit him, because they're standing in a way that's a little, you know, Woods is standing in a certain way where I'm like, you're not going to hit him, are you? And he's making me uncomfortable. I'm like, please don't super kick him.
So FightfulSelect.com had the scoop that there was no producer assigned to this segment, which usually
indicates physicality.
Physicality, yeah.
Great point. But you know what? There was physicality in the segment. It assaulted my heart and my senses.
Oh, yes.
I just desperately want the New Day to be on the same page. And I think someday that they will. I think based on the setup of this segment that Big E will someday come back, because that's the only logical payoff to what had been said and set up in the segment. I don't know how that happens. I don't know when that happens. I don't know how they execute that. I can tell you this, Sean Rossap. I was told, a little birdie, here's some Ebu select here.
Okay.
Bum, bum, bum. I was told months ago, because I was talking to somebody within the promotion, and I was just kind of like, what are you guys doing with this New Day thing? Because I thought at that time, Woods is just going to turn heel and join Cross. And they basically just said, be patient. It's a big thing. We're trying a really, really ambitious story here that's going to go in some directions that aren't super expected and slightly unconventional from a storytelling standpoint. And from that point onward, I was like, okay, I get what you're actually saying to me. And then word started to emerge to me. I heard from Chris Yim, not Chris Yim, no, don't tweet that. But I did hear from somebody that Big E was going to be a part of the 10th anniversary thing. Mm-hmm. And then bing, bong, bong, boom, pam, here we go. Again, based on what they set up here, which is a really emotionally gripping segment, an extremely emotionally gripping segment. I think he will be back. By the way, dude,
okay.
Watching the social media reactions as this was happening, like,
oh my gosh,
everybody was by the balls.
Like, yeah,
everybody is just like collectively hoping that this thing turns out all right. You know, it's almost like bated breath for everyone. And so when Woods and Kofi basically swerved Big E, like, no, you're the fucking problem, you piece of shit. It's like, damn, because Big E is one of the most beloved people in the industry.
Yes.
Today, he dropped that phenomenal Players Tribune article.
Unanimously adored. You cannot find somebody to say something bad about him.
Correct. And, like, it was very strategic, clearly, how that whole rollout happened and everything. And there's nothing but positivity and positive feelings when you see Big E out there. And then the New Day are repeatedly just stabbing him in the heart. And you feel that for him. And so it was one of those
hand really, on the chest, man, as he went in for the hug. Oh my God.
Right. Just really well done. And so to all that, I say this as an isolated segment, very strong. It's clear to be continued here. And I am very, very invested in the to be continued and the next chapters here.
So a lot of people have talked about New Day's contracts and all that. There's injury time possible on Xavier and Kofi. We don't know what it is. Anybody you hear reporting, oh, well, their deals were in late 2024. That's because they reported in late 2019 that they had 5-year deals. But we don't know now. But when I asked man himself in the summer, like, hey, did you get any injury time added? And he's like, I don't think so. Don't believe so. So his deal would be up soon, and they obviously would not want to extend that if he can't wrestle, because they are paying him wrestler salary to not wrestle and to do.
And if he's just going to do talking head stuff, it's a totally different contract with totally different money figures.
Yes. And obviously, considering the nature of the injury, they want to take care of him, pay him out, and the like. Man, I don't know how to put this. People that I know that have been close to Big E have been calling him a, quote, retired wrestler for over 2 years. And that's not something I ever said or put out there, but I think possibly because I was in denial of it. I didn't want to see this guy who I know to be a wonderful human being to be done, but that was a thing that Xavier brought up. He said, stop teasing the people. You're never going to be cleared. And that means you need to get the hell out of the ring and back to your desk. It was just such elevating levels of disrespect towards this man that holds the respect of everybody, who did not come from a wrestling background, is a perfect example of being given an opportunity, working hard, loving it, and then becoming loved. And we've got a lot of people sharing their feelings. Dylan says, is he boo pumped for the eventual Wyatt 6 New Day feud? No, he loves them.
We'll see what happens, I guess.
We'll be talking about them briefly in a moment. Big Hero Chris says, New Day breaking up Izzy Boo's fault. No, it's Mia Yim's fault for likely introducing her sister to Big E.
Yes.
So it is definitely her fault.
So if she catches this or someone sends her a
clip, she'll catch it.
Mia Yim, you broke up the New Day.
Big time Fightful viewer there. Mr. Showtime says, everyone, reunion or a breakup, we got both. Yeah, and like you see Kofi and Xavier telling, like, we've got each other. It's just us. Steph the writer says, New Day segment was brutal, devastating, heartbreaking, and brilliant. Masterful performances all around. It is one of my favorite all-time segments and one of my least favorite all-time segments, which means that it worked. It's one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever seen, but it was also one of the greatest heel turns I think I've ever seen in pro wrestling. And one of the most effective segments I've ever seen in pro wrestling, because these guys are going to get booed real hard the next time they wrestle.
Pro wrestling is fueled by the currency of care. I don't know why when I said that, I felt like I could hear like Paul Heyman saying that bullshit to someone backstage. You know, pro wrestling is fueled by the currency of care. But in all seriousness, like, people really care about what's going to happen to these guys. And that's the most important thing. There's so many talented wrestlers across multiple different promotions, but there's a lot of them that unfortunately don't have that level of investment in them for one reason or another. And right now, with the top stories in wrestling that are really landing with people, beyond anything, beyond the moves, beyond the matches, people really care about the outcomes that these people will face and meet. And with the New Day, I can tell you this, at least speaking personally, and I'm sure many people in our live chat right now and people nationwide, there's heavy investment in what the fate is going to be of Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, and Big E.
Tim says, Chris and Mia Yim are eating Kofi and Woods alive. Next, I'm sure they are. And Adam Legend says, I have as much interest in New Day fighting each other as I did with Jimmy and Jay. Didn't watch it and won't watch whatever this leads to. Well, buddy, are you in luck? Because they ain't fighting each other. They're staying together, and they're going to be a big heel tag team in a tag team division that desperately needs something fresh, because I am so sick of this Judgment Day bullshit.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead.
You know what's crazy? No, I was just going to say, I thought splitting the tag belts would like be a good thing. It's been an absolute net negative.
Yeah.
Like, what a...
Their golden ticket to have people pop up on every show. Now they're right. Just like, well, we don't care. Anybody can be on this show that wants to be.
The 2023 tag titles were so much better. Like, they main evented TVs. They were on pay-per-view. They main evented a pay-per-view. That pay-per-view being WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you, Sean. There was a stretch in 2023 last year where they felt like Raw's top belts, because It was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn holding those sons of bitches and their main eventing every TV in super hot three-segment matches with the Judgment Day and other acts. They had, I remember, a three-segment match with Gunther and Kaiser. Those belts legitimately got to a point when you went from the Usos with their record-breaking reign to Steen Erico to Priest and Balor. That stretch, those belts felt like the most big time and main event that the tag belts had been in WWE in literal decades. And to fast forward to this year, where post Awesome Truth, we have these split tag belts that have not been on pay-per-view, either of them. And they're just kind of existing on the title holders. It's honestly, specifically these Raw ones with Judgment Day. I mean, like a real ball drop there.
Just Ricardo says, welcome, Ibu. And Fid McAwesome says, if anyone's looking for me, I'll be crying in my room. First time I've ever hated Kofi. Well done, WWE. Yeah, he is a guy that I've adored for a long time. And now I'm like, damn, can't wait to see him get that ass whipped. Also, Fid has a couple of Fightful interviews that are coming up. He did the interview that we dropped with Paul White, that one of the shorts became one of the most viewed clips in Fightful history. So we always thank him and the Down Under the Ring podcast that he does as well. We got Erwin Guevara saying, shout out to Big E for bringing Kofi and Woods back together. I mean, he did. He kind of did.
Very clearly, Kofi and Woods got on the phone over the weekend. You're like, look, brother, when you really think about it, this motherfucker, Big E, is a problem, man. He wasn't fucking
He's
here
already
for us and-
manager. Look at him. He's unifying these two guys. D. Grayson says, it's been a couple of rough weeks. Emotionally, I needed Big E to come back and save the New Day. This was absolutely devastating, but also brilliant. Haven't felt this awful after watching something fictional since Hereditary. Damn. Black Phoenix brand says that New Day segment was rough to get through. Big E's a monster, but damn it, if he doesn't know how to tug at the heartstrings. So going forward, do Kofi and Woods continue as New Day or should they rebrand? I think they'll be New Day. I think they will continue as New Day. I think that's part of twisting the knife, is that they are New Day without a guy that helped make them so lovable. And the fact that he was so lovable, you know, for all the people that said, oh, they got to stop throwing pancakes and all that stuff. All right. Well, part of that was why we love Big E and why we look at him and we're like, sure, he's a 300-pound, muscle-bound, jacked, athletic dude, but he's like us. Like, we can identify with him. He's a guy. And that helped so much.
Just a big goofball, man.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So we get the Karrion Kross promo. It sets up Wyatt 6 versus Final Testament and Miz next week. Because Miz fits right in with all this. Listen, I just want to say this. I've liked Karrion Kross and the work that he's done, especially on social. I think that he on social has shown a lot of people that he's got some personality. I don't have as much of an interest in
absolutely in
this, though. And Dylan says, Howdy is going to do some nasty stuff to New Day for this. Any thoughts on the Cross stuff before we move to the main event?
Miz and Cross have been like a surprisingly quirky and amusing act. And to your point, Cross is a really, really good speaker. And the vignettes have overachieved, I think. And same with the some of the stuff on TV. The problem, unfortunately, is that the bell has to ring, and Cross, his in-ring in the main roster in WWE hasn't cut it. I think it's not at the standard it needs to be to really be pushed. And so, I don't know how good the match is going to be. Thankfully, the Wyatts are over.
Yes.
So, like, it's going to be white hot. It's going to be hot in the building when those guys do their thing. I actually think Gacy, like, does really well in these tags. So I'm actually happy to see them wrestle again. Actually, I've enjoyed all the Wyatt tags since the relaunch of this group. So that should be fine. Beyond that, though, I don't think this should be a feud that continues really past that match. I think they should maybe figure out something else for Miz and Cross to do. And similarly for the Wyatts.
Backstage, we get Jey Uso laid out, and he's coherent, but he doesn't say who did it, which is unusual. Like, I don't know of anything that was keeping him from it. And Sammy's pissed off. and asks Adam Pearce, who did this? And he goes, who do you think did it? Like, in character, Adam Pearce, like, why wouldn't he just tell him? Unless he's trying to fire him up for the main event. Like, there's no reason, there's no way at that point that Jay doesn't know, or Adam Pearce could just say he doesn't know. That was very unusual, Ibu. But it's Drew McIntyre who comes back after Sami Zayn gets beaten by Seth, because, you know, we get Dr. Chris Featherstone, of all people, breaking the news of this main event this afternoon. And okay, I'm like, hell yeah, barn burner. And then no, it is a very much like Jey Uso, Roman Reigns. Did you do this? I didn't do it. Why would I do that? In the middle of the match, then a small package. What did you think of this whole thing?
I think Sami Zayn is one of the best wrestlers in the world, and I was excited to see him wrestle Seth Rollins, and they did that for about 3 minutes of television time, and I enjoyed those 3 minutes. And then it was the whole cutscene of just like, you attacked him! No, I didn't! You attacked him! No, I didn't! He gets a chair. Don't hit! Wait! And I'm like, fuck, man. Come on, man. What are we doing? Fuck. I'm already antsy and cranky because R-Truth and Pete Dunne took away from this.
Yes.
So I'm like, I'm getting cranky. After the first commercial break, I'm like, all right, they got 7 minutes. They could do something with 7 minutes. And then they used 3 of the minutes to wrestle, and then they did their argument. But I'm like, all right, man, I guess they're just dangling the carrot of the match, but they're not really going to do it here. And they do the angle and then the roll up. And I'm like, oh, whatever. And I was about to get really grumpy about it. And then Sean Ross Sapp, Sami Zayn gets Claymored. And I was like, wait a minute. That's a tall man in tight jeans. I know that guy. And then boom, it's Drew McIntyre. And I'm like, oh, shit, let's go, Drew. He's been greatly missed. He's a big-time bona fide main eventer. This has been the best year of his career.
It's incredible.
In the CM Punk feud.
In a contract year at excellent. That. So he nailed down a contract, and WWE in some situations, Drew McIntyre and Kevin Owens showed, like, when they signed their new deals, Drew this year, Kevin a few years ago, yeah, you're making the right decision. So glad to have him back. Man had 12 staples in his head, then hit the bricks, went over to Europe to spend time with his family, as he should after this year. But Semi says, the best case scenario to me is Sammy world title win at Mania versus KO, but surely that remains in the Cody Rock vortex. I don't think Rock's working Mania. He says, could do Cody Rock separate and draw. I just...
Stop saying that!
I just don't think he is. I think he popped up on Bad Blood because he was in town. I don't think they knew that he was going to be on Bad Blood until 5 days before. And, yeah. I think probably some stuff got nailed down recently, and I would be shocked if The Rock worked Mania. Now, also... He is The Rock, so anything's possible. Ten Ruza says, great to see the face, Ibu. Next up on Grapsity. Hey, Grapsity can have whoever they want on the show. They've got free reign to do that. But N. Simmons also says, my takeaway from this was, oh, Sammy is answering for his sins with the blood with Drew. Then the first thing he said, or the first thing I said was, Kevin is going to kill him. Yeah, I'm still fascinated at how Kevin Owens responds to Sami Zayn throughout this whole situation. But also Drew McIntyre has not forgotten what the Bloodline has done to him and people that are willing to help the Bloodline. Like, he's been very outspoken about that, Ibu.
It's the catalyst for his heel turn. Yeah, Drew McIntyre's heel turn has been the catalyst of it was Jey Uso and everybody accepting and just being okay with Jey Uso being around them as friends. That's what caused him to crash out and spiral in the first place. So you're now seeing a collection of characters that are like, man, fuck the Bloodline. What is wrong with all of you people? Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins. It's very interesting. It's led to a lot of really interesting interactions. And that's the thing about this kind of net of a story we got here, because, man, what's Drew McIntyre going to say about this? What's Kevin Owens going to say about Sammy? What's this guy going to say about this guy? It's a lot of connected plots happening right now.
We welcome Demon Diva, who is in the chat, by the way. Always great to see her. Last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats, our moderator Luis says, and another Luis says, thoughts on Wagner Jr. and the future you see. Luis thinks that the December 6th tapings will be very telling for his future. Luis says that he would love to see him beat Gran Guerrero for the CMLL World Heavyweight title. He knows that beat far better than I, but guys, man, a 90-minute post-Raw review is not the norm. It probably won't be the norm. By God, we had introductions to make. We had stories to tell, damn it. And Abu did that. Abu, I think this was a great show. I think it was a fantastic introduction to you. But tell people where else they can find you.
Well, Sean, thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun. I've been terrified that my Wi-Fi has been lagging for the last like 7 minutes, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah. Listen, it can't be worse than Kate's.
I appreciate the
Can't be worse than Kate's.
Oh, is Kate's crazy?
You know what? You all are both in the same neck of the woods, so that makes an awful lot of sense.
So maybe the East Coast is just fucked. I don't know. Thank you for having me, Sean. I honestly appreciate the live chat because you guys have been really, really cool. So if you're unfamiliar with me, follow me at Backup Hangman. That's Backup Hangman, literally nothing else, no numbers, no underscores. Follow me at Backup Hangman. And on there, I will be making wrestling posts pretty incessantly, nonstop. And, you know, you might maybe enjoy some of it or learn something. I tweet about a lot of different things, whether it's modern wrestling, all the weekly shows, old wrestling, hip hop or whatever the hell else. So yeah, listen, appreciate it. I appreciate the audience. Again, I really, really do appreciate the audience. And I also want to thank Sean Ross Sapp and Jimmy Van for paying me $100,000 to be on Fightful. So yeah. I really appreciate that. And let's get some wine emojis in the chat. Let's get some wine emojis.
Let's go. I love it. Look at that. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Usually we drop fruit emojis, but you know what? You can make wine out of grapes, so this works out perfectly fine. I'm rather happy.
Hell yeah.
Guys, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 a month in the business. We got exclusive news, additional podcasts, my gosh, pre-shows, post-shows, a Discord, all that good stuff, exclusive news right there. I am on Blue Sky and on Twitter X, all that stuff. We're trying to grow our Instagram, our TikToks, all that. Shout out to James Lynch, who represented Fightful this weekend at the Survivor Series. We are dropping a video of his where he compares covering big UFC events to big WWE events. I dropped interviews with Ethan Page, Steve Macklin, QT Marshall in the last couple of weeks. And I did like 10 with a bunch of up and coming wrestlers at WrestleCade. I got, as things stand, Trevor Lee. I got Mance Warner coming up soon. All kinds of good stuff. Man, look at that. Look. This is like getting streamers thrown on us. Hell yeah.
Listen, guys, man, that's what we call the hanger hive, Sean Wasap. That is the hanger hive.
I love it.
I love and appreciate you guys. I'm going to be here every fucking Monday, and we're going to be talking about Raw. Hopefully the show was as interesting as it was this week.
We got lucky this week. What an opening show.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Guys, until next time, we're out.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.